Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
He put it in my heart. You can't change it. My soul's on fire.
Oh, I'm just holding on. I'm just holding on. And I won't let go of my faith.
Amen. In memory of Sister Parthenia Douglas Bill Shade. Amen. I'm holding on and I won't let go of my faith. Now, we are always happy, and thank you, musician. Thank you, Brother Cutright, for yesterday. Amen. And Brother Zacchaeus, God bless you. And Sister Brother Amar, you weren't here on yesterday. So we're going to hear from you today, if you don't mind. Amen. And then we'll hear from heaven. Amen. Let's thank God for Brother Amar Wilkins.
I lift my hands in total adoration unto you. You reign on the throne, for you are God and not alone. Because of you, my cloudy days are gone. Sing to you this song. I just want to say that I love you more than anything.
Can I say that one more time?
I lift my hands and total adoration unto you.
Come on, sing it if you know it.
You reign on the throne, for you are God and not alone. Because of you, my cloudy days are gone. I can sing to you this song. I just want to say that I love you more than anything. I love you, Jesus. Yeah. I worship, yeah. I adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more.
Sing it when we say, I love you, Jesus. Say,
I love you, Jesus.
Say, I worship and adore you.
I worship and adore you.
Just want to tell you.
Just want to tell you.
Lord, I love you
more than
Lord, you gave your life so that I can be free. I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
Said I worship and adore you.
I worship and adore you.
Lord, I just want to tell you.
Want Attention to the book of Psalm, 23rd number of the book of Psalm. It's word time now. Get your Bible. Come on. Psalm 23. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word on today. Jesus, we magnify and adore him. 23rd number of Psalm, very familiar passage of scripture. And let me just say before I shall read this passage into your hearing how thankful I am that you all afford me the opportunity to attend our National Baptist Congress. Focus on the Bible right now, all right? Thank y'all for affording me that opportunity to go to our National Congress. Awesome class that I was able to participate in this year under the leadership of Dr. D.Z. Cofield, great teacher, amen. And the class was really about expository preaching. And he said in that class, you know, I've been preaching 40 years, I guess, but thank God I'm not closed-minded. Thank God I'm yet able to learn more. And the class was about expository preaching. And he said that because a lot of folk consider expository preaching to be a style of preaching. But Dr. Cofield said that expository preaching is not a style of preaching, it is a philosophy of preaching. And generally, when you look at expositional preaching, you're looking at a preacher who goes line by line, precept by precept, amen, verse by verse, and there is explanation offered. And so I'm going to take a shot at it today, amen, from one of my favorite passages of Scripture. This 23rd number of Psalms that we're all familiar with. The Lord is my shepherd. Y'all say it with me. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of God. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege, and we pray, God, that you will speak a word into the hearts and minds of your people, a word that will remind us that you're God and God alone. We thank you, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, ushers. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. The Bible is filled with many comforting scriptures, but have perhaps none so comforting as the 23rd Psalm. This psalm has been a favorite of God's people for over 3,000 years. And although there are only 118 words in this particular psalm, they are powerful words of comfort and strength and hope. I want to share some background information expositionally, if you will, with you regarding shepherds and sheep that will help us to better understand this 23rd number of Psalm. Unfortunately, we live in a society where tending sheep is not a common occupation. In fact, I would dare say that none of us know any shepherds personally, and we're even less familiar with what a shepherd's life is really like. But one of the things you do with expositional preaching, amen, you have to make the text relevant for today without compromising the context in which it was given during the time that it was written. So I got to tell y'all a little bit about sheep and shepherds, amen? Amen. A shepherd in David's day, as well as in the days of Christ, used very simple equipment. He had a bag to carry his food in. He had a rod to fight off wolves and dangerous animals. He had a staff with a crook in it to retrieve errant or injured sheep, and a well-used slingshot with some rocks. Shepherds didn't have much, but they had a big heart. Amen. The shepherd often tended the same flock of sheep for many years. He knew his sheep by name, and the sheep knew him by the sound of his voice. Because the shepherd lived with his sheep, his job really was 24 hours a day. If we were to have met a shepherd in David's time, we would likely see a sleepless, weather-beaten man who looked old far beyond his years. He would be an humble and gentle man, and yet after many battles with wild animals, he would also seem very rugged and tough. Shepherds were no wimps. But the thing we would notice most about the shepherd would be his obvious love for his sheep. Constantly watching, always attentive. The sheep were always on the mind of the shepherd. But what about the sheep? Why do sheep even need a shepherd? Y'all ask some good questions. Amen. In the animal kingdom, there are a whole lot of animals that are considered smart animals. Horses are smart. Dogs are smart. If you don't believe me, just visit my mother and check out her little dog, Poochie. Amen. It's almost as if Poochie knows what you're talking about, especially when you say words like the vet or bath. Amen. But dogs are smart. But sheep rank as one of the dumbest animals on earth. One of the dumb things that sheep do involves how they eat. They munch on grass hour after hour without ever looking up. Focused only on finding the next clump of grass to chew on, the sheep often wander away from the rest of the flock without even realizing it. This puts them in grave danger of being attacked by a wild animal. Another problem related to their eating is sheep cannot digest all of their food until they lie down. They will keep on eating. Oh my, if this ain't us, amen. If this ain't me, amen, they will keep on eating and eating until they are ready to explode. The problem is they don't have enough sense to lie down. The shepherd has to make them lie down. Another dumb thing sheep do is they follow after the leader amongst the sheep. Because of their inherent follower nature, if the lead sheep walks over a cliff, amen, guess what? The rest of the flock will follow right over the cliff without even a pause. Also, sheep are totally helpless against predators. If a wolf happens to get into the sheep pen, the sheep will not fight back. They don't try to get away. They don't even have enough sense to spread out. Amen. They get in a huddle. Make it easy for the lion. Make it easy for the wolf. They get in a huddle. Amen. In fact, do you know the only time sheep will scatter is when something happens to their shepherd? Oh, y'all, that's all in Bible country, ain't it? Don't y'all hear Jesus in Matthew 26 and 31? He says the shepherd will be struck and the sheep will scatter. One more thing about sheep. If a sheep falls into water, they are going to drown. Amen. Y'all know one of the things that sheep are good for is that hair they have on them, that wool. Amen. And so if they fall in water, all of that wool gets wet and they sink quickly. They absorb the water and they drown. But here's where we have to give sheep a little credit. Sheep are afraid of moving water. And they will not drink from a stream unless the water is still. Do you understand now why sheep need a shepherd? Sheep are entirely dependent animals who constantly need somebody to love them, to care for them, to watch over them, to lead them, to protect them, to provide for them. And when they get in trouble, sheep need somebody that will rescue them. I thought I'd get a shout right through there. Amen. Maybe some of you don't know who your shepherd is. Isn't it interesting that the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep is what the Lord chose to symbolize his relationship with us? In fact, the shepherd-sheep relationship is mentioned over 200 times in the Bible. For you and me to be identified as sheep is certainly humbling, isn't it? But guess what? It is more humbling when you consider the fact that Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, chose to identify himself as a lowly, dirty shepherd. As we turn our thoughts now to this beautiful 23rd Psalm, let's get into the exposition of it all. David reveals three wonderful truths about our good shepherd, Jesus Christ. The first thing he tells us, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd provides for me." If you know him to be a provider, come on. Come on. You ain't got to wait to the end to bless him. You can praise him. See, sometimes we forget that it was the Lord who made a way. Sometimes we forget that the money in that bank account, amen, is not because you were so smart, not because you had all the right degrees, but God opened some doors. He made some ways. If you know he's a provider, come on. Don't wait to the end. Praise him right now. David says in the opening passage, "The Lord is my shepherd." Those are soothing words to my ears. Amen. As a matter of fact, say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd. Y'all, mankind has always sought for security. A child stands close to his mother and finds in her security. All through life, we strive for security. In a number of ways, we guard our health, at least we ought to. We save money for when we get old, at least we ought to. We take out insurance policies. We long for security, but I've come by to tell you this morning that true security, lasting security, the greatest security of all can only be found in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I ought to have three witnesses. I ought to have five witnesses. Come on, do I hear six? Do I hear seven? Amen. If you know that your security is in him, the Lord is my shepherd. But then David goes on to say in the B part of that first verse, he goes on to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, just what does that mean? First, y'all, it means the Lord, my shepherd, will provide all of my physical needs. Amen, amen, amen. Verse 2, he makes me lie down, not just anywhere. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I'm trying to show you he'll supply your physical needs. Amen. He leads me beside still water. He knows I get thirsty. I got a drink. Amen. And he knows I can't stand running water. So he leads me beside still waters. Y'all, sheep have two basic physical needs, grass and water. Here we see the shepherd provide both. If you and I were to have walked through the ancient lands where David tended to his sheep, we would notice patches of green pastures with long stretches of barren land in between. The good shepherd would graze his sheep on a patch of green pasture. Then he would lead them on to the next. And when the sheep had been satisfied, the shepherd would make them lie down on one of those stretches of green pasture close to some still water. Remember, they don't like running water. So if the shepherd came to a stream that was moving, y'all know what he would do? He would get some limbs and get some branches, amen, and create a dam in that running water so it would be still enough for the sheep to drink. I wish I had somebody up in here who could look back over your life and recognize that there were times when you did not know how you were going to pay that bill. You did not know where the food was going to come from. You did not know how you were going to send your children off to college, but you're able to look back over your life and testify that he provided for me. He opened, he made, somebody ought to be able to tell him thank you today. So I think you'll agree with me that the Lord, our shepherd, supplies all of our physical needs. When the Lord created this world, he knew that we were going to need some food. So he provided us with fruit-bearing trees. He provided us with vegetables and grains. He provided us with meat from beast and fowl and fish. He knew we needed to stay warm in cold weather, so he buried coal in the ground that could be used as fuel for fire. He knew we needed protection from the scorching sun, so he provided us with shade trees. He knew we needed water, so he put streams of water, not just on top of the earth, but there's some running under the earth whereby we can dig wells and get cool. He is my provider. If you can't praise him for any other reason, you ought to praise him because he is our provider. This same David, just a couple Sundays ago, I told you, I reminded you of what he said. He said, I have been young and now I'm old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed beg bread. He provides for our physical needs. But secondly, he also provides for our spiritual needs. He leads me. Amen. Amen. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The shepherd knows his sheep will not lie down if they're not calm in their spirit. If they suspect there are wolves nearby, they will not lie down. If flies or fleas are bothering them, they will not lie down. If there is disharmony in the flock and a couple of sheep are butting up against one another, the rest of the sheep will not lie down. So the shepherd has the task of calming the sheep, giving them a word of ease. Y'all don't know what pastors go through. Y'all don't know that there are times we stand up here to calm you down and our own lives are in disarray. There are times we are called upon to give you a word of encouragement and we haven't slept all night. Oh my, oh my. You ought to thank God that we serve a shepherd. I'm talking about Jesus now, who has the ability to calm us down. Is there anybody in here? You have been overwhelmed. You have been depressed. You felt like giving up.
But the same Jesus that stood up on a boat one day in the midst of a stormy sea and spoke to the wind and spoke to the waves and said, "Peace be still." Is there anybody up in Pleasant Hill this morning that can look back over your life and say, the only reason I made it through that mess, the only way I made it through that divorce, the only way I made it through that financial crisis is because the Lord stood up in my life and spoke to the storms and said, "Peace be still." Give him praise in this place. I think that's why the Bible calls him the Prince of Peace. Oh my, oh my. Our shepherd revives, refreshes our spirit when we're weary and burdened down. Our shepherd has provided us with his word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Yes, the Lord, my shepherd, provides for me physical needs, spiritual needs. But then secondly, we're walking the text. In verses 4 and 5, we discover that not only does he provide for me, which is what we see in verses 1 through 3, but in verses 4 and 5, we see that he also protects us. First, the shepherd protects me in the valleys. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And I got to be careful not to preach the other sermon I have on this same passage. Amen. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The valley of the shadow of death. Often when the shepherd moved his flock from one pasture land to another, he would oftentimes have to lead them through narrow, rocky crevices between mountains. These valleys, y'all, were filled with danger. There was danger from wolves and lions hiding behind the rocks. There was always the danger of falling rocks that could kill the sheep and the shepherd. There was the danger of sheep falling over cliffs. They literally were walking in the shadows of death until they emerged on the other side. Look at somebody and say, "On the other side." Oh my, oh my, on the other side. Come on, tell another neighbor. That'll preach by itself. Weeping may endure for a night, oh, but on the other side. Come on, come on. Oh my, bless his name. Lord, keep my mind clear. They were literally walking in the shadows of death until they emerged on the other side. But even in the midst of all of those dangers, the sheep remained calm as long as they knew the shepherd was with them in the valley, because they knew the shepherd was going to protect them. Y'all, David mentions two instruments of protection used by the shepherd, the rod, the staff, the rod. The shepherd didn't use the rod on the sheep. I know sometimes the way we act, we need a rod. Amen. But he doesn't use the rod on the sheep. The rod was only used on predators. If a wolf came near the sheep, the shepherd would raise the rod and holler to scare the wolf away. If the wolf got a hold of one of his sheep, the shepherd would beat the wolf with the rod. Amen. He would beat the wolf to death. But then there was the staff. Now, the staff had a crook in it on the end of it. Amen. And it was used to pull sheep that had gone astray back into the fold. If one of the sheep got a leg trapped between two rocks, the shepherd would use the staff to pry the rocks apart. If a sheep fell down into a hole, the shepherd would use the crook of his staff to pull the sheep back to safety. Life is full of valleys, the valleys of loneliness, the valleys of depression, the valley of sickness, and yes, even the valley of death. But Christ defeated death when he resurrected on the third day morning. Death is no longer the enemy it used to be. Christ took away the sting of death. He took away the victory of the grave. So for the Christian, there is nothing to fear, even